Did you ever wonder, why do we do what we do? I mean, there's days that I'm as bold as a lion and I'm courageous and I feel God's power. And there's other days I'm like a coward and I shrink back and I'm embarrassed and I even realize I've been ashamed of the gospel. What goes on inside our minds and hearts to make us act the way we do? Want to find out? That's today.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this daily discipleship outreach, and I'm Dave Drury. Today, Chip continues his series, Jesus Unfiltered, by answering the question he just asked, why do we do what we do? He's going to take a look at the motivations of some of the key players in Jesus' last days that may shine a little light on some of our motivations when we take a candid look. Well, this is a powerful message, and Chip will be back after the teaching to talk more about how this all works, so be sure to stay with us for that. Now, if you have a Bible handy, open it now to John chapter 18, and let's join Chip for part two of his message, For This I Was Born.
We pick up the story. It continues. The high priest begins to question Jesus, verse 19. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Now, notice Jesus' focus in his response is going to go back to how openly he testified, how openly he shared and taught. And what he's going to call on them to do is do what? Bring witnesses in who heard my teaching. Let them testify about what's true and what I spoke. When Jesus said this, he said, I've always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they knew what I said. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. Is that the way to answer the high priest, he demanded. Now, notice the theme the author keeps bringing up. If I said something wrong, Jesus replied, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Annas sent him still to be bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Are you catching the drift? Are you catching and realizing there's a series of people and the issue is, how do they testify to the truth? Are they courageous or are they cowardly? Verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, surely you're not another of his disciples? And he denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Well, didn't I see you with him in the Olive Garden? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster crowed as prophesied three times. And by the way, the other gospel writers, a little bit more graphic. Peter doesn't just say, no, it wasn't me. He says, blankety blank blank, I don't know the guy. He actually curses and completely disowns any relationship with Jesus. And this is the same guy that was willing to die an hour or two or three before. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid the ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to take the Passover. So it's okay to have three illegal trials. This is the irony of religion, and we have to all look in the mirror. The irony is that they want to make sure they're ceremonially clean to take over the Passover, but they do three illegal trials and are going to kill an innocent man because he claimed to be God and love people, raise people from the dead. What are the charges you bring against this man, Pilate says. Well, if he were not a criminal, they replied, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourself and judge him by your own laws. Well, we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. This happened so that the words of Jesus that had been spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate went back inside and summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did you talk to others about me? Do you think I'm a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Testimony. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, testifying again. You were right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. And with this, he went out again to the Jews and said, notice, it's an examination by a government official. Here's his testimony. I find no basis for a charge against him. But it's your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at this time of year at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion and actually had committed murder. So these guys that don't want to be ceremonially unclean so they can take the Passover want a murderer to get off an innocent man to die. Do you see? Cowards, courageous, and Jesus testifying to the truth and making this climactic statement about his entire life purpose. And by the way, that is our call, to testify to the truth. What's true about God? What's true about us? What's true about the world? What's true about the future? What a statement. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. I guess despite how gray the world has become, at least according to Jesus, who died and rose from the dead, you're either on the side of truth or you're not. Now, what I want to do, because I think the fact is that all of us are courageous at times and all of us are cowardice at times. And I'd like to dig a little bit to find out why. What made these people do what they did? Because I want to know why I do what I do. I mean, I sort of want to know. Part of me doesn't want to know. But I'll never be courageous if I don't realize there's certain things that are predictors of making you and me cowards in our life. Now, you're going to have to get your fingers ready, and I'm going to ask you to look up a couple passages, because I don't want you to hear me say something. I want you to open and look and read and go, oh. Lessons from John 18. Lesson number one is a question. What kept Judas and Annas from listening to the truth in Jesus? And the answer is greed. Annas was making a fortune. Judas probably had a lot of mixed motives, but it was for 30 pieces of silver. It's what you could buy a slave for. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, because I want you to hear Jesus' actual commentary. Greed's a powerful thing. It's something we all wrestle and struggle with. But Annas and Judas did not listen to the truth because of greed. Have you found it? Luke chapter 16, I'm going to begin at verse 14. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, who were lovers of money, heard all these things that Jesus was teaching, and they ridiculed him. Here's Jesus' response. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men, money, power, position, and stuff that comes with it. That which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." Question that I ask myself and I ask you, is your testimony hindered because it could have implications for your career? Are you less than bold at work? Are you less than upfront? Are you less than verbal? Are you unwilling to be unashamed to be a follower of Christ? Because if you are, that might really hurt your chances for a promotion. Or you might be viewed differently at work. Or the fact of the matter is your life so busy working that really you don't have much of a testimony? Your life really isn't very different. Fact is, you have a lot of debt. You have an untamed schedule. Your life is dictated by demands. And you would never call yourself greedy, but the unconscious pursuit of what you think it's required has by that pattern dismissed you as being a person who is identified, loving, holy, caring, different in the best sense of the word, follower of Jesus. It was true of them and it can be true of us. All I want to say is greed will make you and me a coward. We will run from the opportunity. We'll be afraid of what people think. Courage is stepping out and being bold, even when it feels dangerous or you receive criticism or be viewed as anti-intellectual or a Bible thumper or one of those even prejudiced people. The second reason or lesson from John 18 is what kept the religious leaders from listening to the truth in Jesus. And the answer is pride, power, and position. Pride, power, and position. I'd like, if you will, to open to John chapter 12. Just move back from John 18. John chapter 12. Again, I want you to hear the actual gospel writers. I want you to look at it for yourself. Because in my heart, I don't want to believe that pride or position or that would make me a coward, but according to Scripture, it does. Verse 42 says, "Nevertheless, many of the authorities," these are Jewish leaders, Jewish religious leaders, "believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Anybody concerned about your social standing? Anybody concerned about how you're viewed? Are you sophisticated? Are you intellectual? Anyone really not want to come under some sort of label that you're a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus? I've met people in the business world where some of the, what I know, people who really, really walk with God, and I've had people say, "I had no idea he was a Christian. I had no idea she was a Christian." Well, I knew that they were a high integrity person, and I knew they worked hard. There's a lot of people that have high integrity and work hard, but they mortgaged their test. There was no testimony. There's no testimony. The only way they're going to hear is you and me. And the pride of what people think, or the sense of loss of power or position. My question for you and me, is your testimony hindered because of social pressure and how you're afraid people will look at you? It's one of those take it to God, honest questions. The third lesson is what kept Peter and Pilate from listening to the truth in Jesus. Well, it takes a little historical research with Pilate, and all I will tell you is that he made a handful of bad decisions, and the emperor at the time was dealing with some other things, and he went on sort of a long vacation, and he put one of his commanders in charge of Rome. And this commander, after a season, decided that he was going to try and marry into the royal family, and that made the emperor think, "I think he's after my job," so he came back, had him executed, and then anybody that he appointed as an official, he started going through and had them executed. Well, Pilate was one of the guys that was appointed by this guy. And so when the Jews say, "Hey, anybody who has this king of the Jews is no friend of Caesar's," Pilate's going, "You know what, this is easy. I can't handle one bad PR here," because all they have to say is, it was fear. Peter was afraid. Weird, isn't it? He wasn't afraid when there's 200 soldiers and he's standing next to Jesus, but a servant girl and he's sitting next to, he's afraid. Moment of truth. Are you one of his followers? Do you follow him? Yes, your head comes off. No, you can go. It's happened historically. This isn't hypothetical stuff. Peter goes, "No." He ran. He was a coward. You know the root word, you know where we get our word coward? From the Latin word for tail. It's a picture of when an animal puts its tail between its legs and runs away from a predator of more power. And he was overwhelmed with grief. Final lesson is what empowered Peter to listen to the truth in Jesus initially? I mean, what? I don't know about you, but greed, power, position, fear, I get all those. The fear of man is a snare, Proverbs 29:25 says. But blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. At the end of the day, isn't it faith? Do I trust God for my position? Do I trust God with my money? Do I trust God with what people think of me? See, we won't testify unless we're people of faith. And I'm not saying it's easy, but courage is choosing to do or say what we know is right when we are frightened and concerned about what could happen. But this is a positive lesson. What empowered Peter to listen to the truth initially? The answer is Jesus' presence and power. Right? I mean, there's 200 soldiers, but there's Jesus. There's 200 soldiers, but he speaks, they all fall down. There's 200 soldiers, but my bros are here. You know, we're in this together. There's 10 of us here. Not that the 10 are going to win, but isn't it amazing that just with a few people around you, that our faith rubs up against one another, and just doing life in community in a way, we take steps together, and as I hear about what you do and what she does, that it empowers me to step out. And I'm sure you guys think, oh yeah, Chip, you know, that you never have any problems with this, you're a pastor, and you're so passionate up here, and blah, 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 blah. I was doing the funeral for Teresa's dad, and there's this little funeral home, and there's this big open area, and a little alcove, and there's a coffin, and it lids up, and there's Fred. You know, not much of him, you know, he got really lost all this weight, but just, so for 4 hours, different people are coming in, and there's a dead body there. And I don't, you know, I haven't seen, I don't know Teresa's family, and we're going to go to the graveside, and her two sisters, and their family, and then some other relatives and other people. And so for 4 hours, I'm kind of building relationship and realizing, I mean, I felt like a missionary trying to figure out, oh my gosh, I don't know how life works here. And little by little by little, I felt like God was giving me favor, and I was kind of connecting. And then it's time to go to the graveside, and Teresa and her sister said, please, make sure, in our whole family situation, there's a lot of people that don't know the Lord. There's a lot of people that are not on their way to heaven. We need you to really winsomely, really share the gospel. And I remember I went out to the car, and, you know, we're getting ready because, you know, they're putting the body and the thing, and we're going to go to the graveside. And I remember just sitting in the car and thinking, I've met these people. This is so awkward. And I just had this overwhelming sense of fear. And it was like, I mean, it's illogical. Like, what are they going to think of me? And, you know, it's really small. Actually, the larger the group, the easier it is to be bold. Give me thousands of people. you know, give me 15 or 17. It's like, you know, I mean, there's. And I would have been a coward. And I sat in the car alone, just reviewing my little message. Just saying, God, it will not matter what any of these people think of me. This may be the only time ever they hear the gospel clearly. And so I need to share it, and then I need to let them know exactly how to trust Christ, and then I need to give them the opportunity. This is what you need to do today if you never have. I don't think courage is being an amazing person. I think courage is stepping out regardless of your fear. And here's what I would remind you, the power of your testimony. Revelation chapter 12, 11, and it's talking about overcoming Satan and spiritual strongholds. And it says, and they overcame him, and in the context, it's Satan. How? What's it say? They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. I want you to know, you telling your story, you openly, God is working all over. And he's going to use regular people like us to testify courageously and not be cowards. And it's powerful.
Chip's coming back with a final thought, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today is from Testify, Volume 4 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. You know, the very last thing Jesus did was to task us with a mission to testify. For each of us, that takes on a different look, but the common denominator is to speak the name of Jesus and tell others what his love has done. Just listening to this once probably won't give you the confidence or the boldness to take the next step toward fulfilling that mission, so let me encourage you to get the free Chip Ingram app and go through this series again. Let the Holy Spirit build your confidence so you can testify in a confident, winsome way. For discounted resources of this series, you'll find Testify on our website, livingontheedge.org.
I'll be right back in just a minute to talk about today's teaching. But as we study the Apostle John's teaching here through the gospel, I can, in the back of my mind, hear some of you saying, you know, Chip, this all sounds really wonderful, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been. Boy, if you ever understood the terrible things, in other words, Jesus could never associate with someone like me. He could never really love me, never forgive me. And I want you to know, listen carefully, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The fact of the matter is no one is beyond the reach of Jesus' love. But if you believe that lie, it'll keep you stuck. If you believe that lie, you'll never come to receive his grace. Or as a follower, if you believe that lie, you'll think you're a second-class citizen the rest of your life and never experience his joy and his power or be used by him. Here's what I want you to know. The only way to break lies is with truth. And so what we've developed is what we call truth cards. For every chapter in the book of John, we have the lie outlined, and then we have the truth of that chapter to help you break free. Let me give you an example. For those who feel like you don't measure up, you're unworthy, the lie in chapter 4 is this. God could never accept me or use my life after all the terrible things I've done. It says it right on the card. And right below the card is a little stop sign. Stop. And then you turn over the card. And the card says, Jesus wants to accept and use me. He forgave a woman who had 5 husbands and was currently living with a man so he could communicate his love through her to a whole city. Actually, that passage goes on to say he is seeking or pursuing those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. If you want to be free of your past, trying hard doesn't work. The truth does. Let me encourage you. Get a copy of these truth cards. We'll give you all the information. In fact, get 2 or 3 copies. They're very inexpensive. And go through it with some friends or family. And here's what you'll experience. You'll experience the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Well, the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available now while supplies last when you go to our website, livingontheedge.org. Each of these 21 cards has a common lie or spiritual battle we all face. And on the flip side, it has a passage from the Gospel of John to help you renew your mind with the truth. Whether they're for you or someone else, order your set of Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and get free shipping by calling us at 1-888-333-6003 or order online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with his application.
As we close today's program, you and me have learned a lot of very specific reasons why people fail to testify, and I have mine and you have yours, and unfortunately, I can identify with a lot of the ones that we learned about. But I shared a story where at the very end, this sense, it was so, despite my fears, I just had to testify. I just had to share because I realized those people may never hear if I didn't. And so as we wrap up today's program, I want to ask you, who needs to hear about Jesus in your world? Who in your relational network, what family member, what in-law, what neighbor, what person that you keep bumping into at the gym or the coffee shop, or who's someone at work that you just know God keeps bringing them to your heart, they need to hear about Jesus. Have you got that person in mind? Now, second, what's the best way to communicate that for where your relationship is? I mean, what's the next step? Because I'm going to ask you to take it today. Is it a face-to-face conversation? Is it a text that says, hey, I'm thinking of you and I'd love to talk? Is it taking him out to lunch? Is it writing a note and putting some things in writing that you don't think you could say face-to-face right now? Is it a book or a portion of something that you honestly think would help them, that today you're going to jot a note and say, this really spoke to me and really encouraged me and I thought of you. I just thought you might enjoy it. Love to grab coffee and hear what you think. In other words, what's the best time, who's the person, and what are you going to do today to testify? You'll be so glad you did, and God will lead you. Do it today.
If Living on the Edge is making a difference in your life, and you'd like others to receive the same blessing, we'd love to have you partner with us. Whether it's in prayer or sending a gift, you can begin making a difference in the lives of others today. And thanks to the generosity of a small group of financial partners, every gift we receive between now and July 7th will be matched dollar for dollar. To send a gift, call us at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. And thank you in advance for your support. Well, tomorrow Chip continues his series, Jesus Unfiltered, so be sure to join us then. For all of us here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.